KLAK 1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Tom Rivers. It's another day with a U.S. ship involved in action in the Middle East. The Pentagon says the USS Kearney shot down three drones after missile launches by Houthis targeted three commercial ships in the Red Sea. ABC's Liz Landers.
No injuries are reported, but the commercial ships were damaged. The Houthi rebels claim they were targeting Israeli vessels in the shipping lanes between Africa and the Arabian Peninsula. Meanwhile, Israel's military has expanded its ground war in Gaza.
The U.S. Air Force says divers have found remains and wreckage from an Osprey aircraft that crashed off Japan. They previously recovered the body of one airman. There were eight people on board. The Supreme Court's hearing arguments today as it reviews the bankruptcy settlement with Purdue Pharma, maker of OxyContin. The multi-billion-dollar agreement would see the company pay out millions of dollars, but also give its controlling family immunity from lawsuits. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Senate Democrats have elected Diane Hesselbein as their new minority leader. Hesselbein was elected to represent Middleton in the Senate last fall after a decade of serving in the Assembly. Earlier this week, Melissa Agard stepped down as minority leader after announcing her run for Dane County Executive. Hesselbein beat Senators Kelda Royce and Jeff Smith in a vote for minority leader on Friday. The Wisconsin Supreme Court is expected to rule soon on the state's legislative maps. Jeff Mandel of the liberal firm Law Forward says it's about voters choosing their lawmakers and not the other way around.
If we get back to the feedback mechanisms of democracy, that's the win. It's not about which party wins in 2024. I just think that's overly reductive.
Mandel spoke at a WISP politics gathering on Thursday. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Packers beat the Chiefs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers over the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. The final, Green Bay 27, the Chiefs 19. After a four-game losing streak, the Packers now won four of their last five games. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur on how the offense is improving.
Certainly there's a trust, just making sure that we get the protection that's needed. You know, guys in the receiver room and tight end room are making plays in the passing game.
The Chiefs fall to 8-4, and next week they host the Buffalo Bills. Chiefs defensive lineman Chris Jones.
I go by the five-minute rule. You got 5 minutes to complain. You got 5 minutes to get it all out.
NBA, the Bucks getting ready to play the New York Knicks tomorrow night at Fiserv Forum. Milwaukee held on to beat the Hawks 132-121 over the weekend. Adrian Griffin.
You know, we played a tough Atlanta team that could really score the ball. I don't think they missed in the first half, and we just weathered the storm.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast skies today with a high of 36. South winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Chance of snow 26. 35 tomorrow, partly cloudy. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM. Right now, 29.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group Wisconsin Breaking News today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
1670 AM, The Zone.
Who needs an alarm clock when you've got the farm babe? Pam Yonke and the Farm Report.
Welcome to the first full week of December. How you doing, fabulous farm babe Pam Yonke? Glad to welcome you to it. Hey, it was great to see so many folks Friday evening at the Young Farmer Kickoff event at Kalahari Resort in Wisconsin Dells. Of course, today they take on some of the business decisions that the organization wants to tackle. That'll be happening all day long at the Kalahari Resort in Wisconsin Dells. Weather-wise, for those folks that are going to be doing some traveling, they'll keep an eye on what's going on with this precipitation pattern that kind of swept over Wisconsin, started on Saturday night into Sunday. Today, we're supposed to stay cloudy. 39 are expected high tomorrow, cloudy and 37. Wednesday, sunshine a little bit back in the forecast in 39. And then believe it or not, by the end of the week, we are supposed to be back up into the mid and upper 40s. Stumacher, ag meteorologist, joins us coming up with weather details.
Protovate Nutritional Seed Enhancer is an 80-20 talc graphite replacement that provides the critical nutrients corn and soybeans need for early and uniform emergence. Learn more at getgreatergrowth.com.
What's ahead for the agricultural economy through the eyes of an agricultural economist that works with it every day at the University of Missouri? Dr. Scott Brown is Associate Extension Professor in the Department of Applied Social Services, Interim Director of the Rural and Farm Finance Policy Analysis Center. Well, let's talk about it. Agriculture, so many facets to agriculture. A 20,000-foot view of the overall health and economic outlook for agriculture with all of our various commodities in this country over the next year or so. What do you see?
Well, I see lower farm income. You know, when you think back to 2022, which was record at $180+ billion net farm income. I think when you look at 2024, we're going to be more in the 135 range, which I think 180 was a record that's going to be hard to repeat anytime soon. 135 is still well above the long-term average. I think there'll be more challenges as we look ahead, and some commodities not doing as well as others. But generally, it's an okay outlook for the next couple of years.
Over the long-term average, but is that sustainable with higher input costs and everything else we're dealing with, including interest rates and land costs?
I think it gets tough for some. So I think the answer to that question is it depends. I'm a good economist to answer. It depends for you today. But really thinking through, some operations will be fine. How much debt do I have on that operation? Because all of a sudden those interest rates are going to matter. And I think that puts some operations at risk as we look ahead. I think others will continue to manage. This idea that the fight to be the most efficient is going to intensify as we talk about farm income moving lower.
As we look at that, the fight to become better producers, watch our P's and Q's. But this is a world market now. It's not just across from coast to coast and border to border.
Yeah, so welcome to the uncertainty that comes with being in the global markets. I will say we don't have a choice. We need to play in those global markets because the growth that we see globally is going to exceed the growth that's going to happen here in the United States in our domestic markets. So we want those world markets. But the risk that comes with that means more risk management than we've ever seen before, because I think we get more volatility in prices than we've probably experienced thus far as well. So record highs, record lows, opportunities, and when we have the high prices and not so much fun when we have the low ones. I just think that continues in front of us, and international markets and the opportunity they bring just come with additional volatility.
Not only opportunities, but challenges. China, they're not our friend. Mexico, a neighbor, they're not a friend. How do we deal with this, and how much of that responsibility goes on the farmer? I mean, they're wearing a lot of hats now, but, they're producing. They've got co-ops that are supposedly helping them, associations helping them, but this is getting to be more and more of a challenge for our producers to deal with some of the things that they have no control over, China, and trade deals that we're not making anymore.
Yeah, so I think it is hard when you get back to the producer level of what you do. I think from an individual producer, this is all about, I got to manage my risk even more carefully than I would have in the past. That's all I can do because I know those international markets bring reward and risk at the same time. And so all I can do as an individual producer is try to protect those margins as best I can. And I think they just have to be ready for the ride. I'll say the structure of these industries continue to change. I think become more unresponsive to prices, especially farm-level prices, which to me just says small changes in supply can give us big shifts from very low prices to very high prices.
And those small shifts in supply can happen so fast. We're looking at awfully good cattle prices, awfully poor hog prices. Dairy prices aren't good. But then in the next breath, things can change.
Yeah, absolutely. So I will say, given where cattle prices have been, you know, the conversation is, and it's been pointed at me sometimes of, hey, do you remember what you were telling us back in 2014 and 2015? And I say yes. And I wish in hindsight I would have said it a little differently than what happened because we rebuilt the herd very, very quickly that last cycle. I don't think that's where we're headed this time. However, I now say, take advantage of the risk management opportunities that come when we have high prices. The tools in the toolbox, like LRP, are much more attractive today than they were back in that previous cycle. Don't be caught in a market that moves down substantially when you have some pretty inexpensive insurance options available to you on the risk management side.
And that's a no-brainer, these options. You've got to do that.
Yeah, and I'll say, I tell folks all the time, do not come back and complain to me that you took an LRP contract, you paid the premium, and you didn't get an indemnity, because that meant prices stayed high or went higher. That's what we want. It's insurance. It's not maximizing return. It's all about protecting the downside. And I'm not sure we're going to see a lot of these contracts pay here in the near term, but when we do start building the herd, that's when I think we could see those kinds of contracts paying nicely in terms of indemnity payments.
I know you're in Missouri, Dr. Brown, but for dairy, you talk about LRP, but as far as DMC, that's a no-brainer too. And I don't see where that, and do you, I should ask you, do you see that changing anytime soon, that it's not a good investment to be involved in DMC with where these prices are going?
Yeah, I think it's a great opportunity for those, especially those that don't have production history, you know, much in excess of 5 million pounds. What a great way, relatively inexpensively, to protect some downside risk. And it's margin risk, not just price risk in the case of DMC. Hopefully, when we get the next farm bill passed, DMC will continue in some fashion as it's currently set up. Perhaps there'll be some modifications, but hopefully modifications that make it even more of an easy answer, but by all means, I think those producers, especially if they're carrying some debt, need to look at these kinds of programs. DMC has certainly evolved from what we passed back in the 2014 Farm Bill with the old MPP program and evolved in a way that I think makes it a much better tool for dairy producers today.
Looking at what we talked about earlier, these foreign countries, China and Mexico, China bought so much powder, they bought so many soybeans, they bought everything else. Is that gone at those numbers?
So I don't know if gone in the long term is the right answer. I think it's a slow growth in front of us. There's a lot of
slow regrowth because they there.
Yeah. So slow regrowth is what I'll say. Now, overnight, China can decide they want a bunch of milk powder, and it'll change our market, undoubtedly. So those things can happen. I guess I just look and see. Maybe slower growth looks like the most likely outcome as we go forward. I don't see them. I don't think there's many alternatives that they're going to need some product from us, especially on the dairy side. Pork, we could argue about whether or not they're going to regrow their pork industry enough that they don't really regrow pork imports from us. But I think on the dairy front, incomes recover in China. I think they're going to need some powder, and I think we have that. And so I think we get growth in front of us.
And as we go ahead into 2024, your outlook for what we're going to see as far as commodity prices for row crops, for livestock, for dairy, and the variables that are going to be involved in those prices?
I think cattle prices could still go higher in 2024. I think there's an opportunity for record prices to be set in 2024. I go pork and dairy. I'm kind of sideways at this point. A little less demand growth in front of in 2024 for those. So I see another maybe tougher year for dairy producers and hog producers. I guess as I look at the feed side, if we put another good crop in the bin, well, so tell me what's going to happen in South America. I think Brazil's going to be important here in the near term for corn. But as we look ahead, put a good crop in the bin next fall, we're going to see lower corn and soybean prices as well. So that's my current outlook. I try not to be too specific because it's so hard these days to be exact in this outlook business.
Something we haven't done in the past 10 years approximately, any new trade policy. How much can new trade policies, new trade deals affect what we're doing, and why aren't we?
Well, I think it's been a change in terms of the interest in a number of ways as a number of international issues arise that kind of make us, I think, pull in our horns a little bit relative to freer trade. I still think it's a win long term. If we can get freer trade for agriculture, it's a win. I think we have a number of countries still with steeper tariffs that if we can get those tariffs to go lower, it gives us an opportunity to trade. I don't think we should give up on trying to get additional trade agreements as we look forward. Again, I think growth comes outside the United States, not within it over the next decade, from an ag commodity perspective.
And we certainly don't want to depend on the weather for prices. We'd rather market.
I want stronger demand to get us record prices, not drought that ends up giving us record prices, which is really where we sit in the cattle industry today. I don't like short supplies giving us record prices. I want record demand to give us record prices.
One thing in 2024, the challenges will continue.
There are going to be things that happen in 2024 that none of us anticipated, even sitting here late in 2023.
We'll see what those are. Dr. Brown, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Dr. Scott Brown, again, from the University of Missouri Agricultural College. I'm Bob Bosold.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower.
Well, not really, but it sounds fun.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Be a part of the resistance. Check out The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Who's your Bob? Who's your daddy? What you got for us, Bob?
Look, you could dig Richard Nixon out of the ground right now, have him declare as a Democrat, and I would vote for him before I would vote for Donald Trump.
Dead Tricky Dick over Trump.
And I hate Richard Nixon.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories.
Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK,
Amory's radio station.
Roofing, windows, gutters, siding, and decks. Can Legacy do it? You bet. Better prices, better warranties. Legacy always makes it easy. Go to legacy-exteriors.com. Legacy Exteriors. Just pick up the phone. Let us leave a legacy on your home.
On the job till the cows come home. This is the Farm Report with Pam Jahnke.
Well, I got to confess, there were a lot of cows coming home late last night after that Packers victory, and that happened right here in Green Bay. I'm up in Green Bay at our house, belovedly called Pambo. For those of you that didn't know, I've got a spot up here, and I got a house full of guests, Stumach, that decided they were going to stay and rally until the very end with the Packers, and that means that we're all a little blurry-eyed this morning, making our way to the office or wherever. Kind of sort the weather out for me, would you? The patterns changed a little bit over the weekend, and it looks like they're going to change again coming up later this week, huh?
It's always bright and shiny the morning after a Packer win, isn't it, Pam? No matter what the weather's like, we're all expecting to see that sunshine and nice temperatures and just a glorious Wisconsin day because of a good win. That might not quite be the case we're dealing with. Let's talk about some of those changes you brought up, and a lot of those have to do with some fairly fast-moving low-pressure systems. One of those just pulling away from the state brought yesterday's snow, that melting snow from yesterday, and even in the night as it didn't cool too quickly, is going to mean some slippery spots and stretches out in the roads, the sidewalks, probably the driveway. Be extra careful this morning. You may find it to be slick and a little less than ideal, but we expect during the day those temperatures warm up again. In fact, above freezing, more melting, more cleanup, if you will, but that's ahead of yet another system, another low that's going to build from around western northwestern Minnesota. That system will pass right on toward the southern part of the state through the night and into early tomorrow. Our expectation is some more snow, maybe even a bit of a rain-snow mix in western Wisconsin, La Crosse and Mauston. That may happen after sundown tonight, and that precipitation spreads across the southern half of the state through the night, may still linger into the morning hours of Tuesday in the east, but should end. Any accumulation, not going to be a big deal. We're talking an inch or less, just not a big snowmaker for us. This little fast system zips through, doesn't provide any kind of cooling. In fact, already by Wednesday, a little more sunshine returns. And after a little sunshine, how about this? Toward Thursday and Friday, up into the 40s, far southern Wisconsin may see some 50s. Southwest winds develop behind all of this activity midweek, later Wednesday, and that south and southwest wind really bring the mild air in, really pushing those temperatures up well above normal for the end of the week. That with the warm-up, there may be a bit of a rain chance we have to talk about, though, as we look on toward the upcoming weekend, Saturday and Sunday. I'll have those forecast details right after this.
This year, Dairyland Seed is introducing our best corn of all time. Again. That sound you just heard? That's the sound of a full lineup of top-performing hybrids bringing the yield like never before. It's the sound of even stronger traits bred specifically to boost corn bushels per acre in your soil. And it's the sound of workhorse corn seed proven to outperform yet again in independent head-to-head trials. See the latest corn performance data at showmethecornyield.com. That's showmethecornyield.com.
Looking for row crop equipment? Steffes Group is conducting the Tice Brothers Farm Retirement Auction in Verona. Their clean, well-maintained equipment includes tractors, combines, headers, planters, and much more. This timed online auction closes Tuesday, December 5th at 1 p.m. Go to steffesgroup.com right now for photos and a complete list of equipment to be sold. Don't miss the Tice Brothers Farm Retirement Auction closing Tuesday, December 5th at 1 p.m. That's steffesgroup.com.
Our Compure Financial Ag Weather forecast is for a mostly cloudy Monday. Wish there was more of that sun, but temps ought to be in the 30s. Let's talk about 35, 37, maybe 38 at La Crosse, the warm spot, cooler in the east. The north winds become southwest today, only about 5. But it's tonight with cloudy skies that snow develops, maybe a little rain, snow in the west or south early in the night. Light snow otherwise, less than an inch accumulating. I expect nighttime lows down close to 30. Southwest winds become north in the night, still about 5. Now, mostly cloudy skies Tuesday, not a bad day. Again, in those upper 30s, 37, 38, north winds will be around 5 to 10. And then we get to Wednesday, partly sunny, more breezy, but we start that warm-up later in the day. The high only in the upper 30s again Wednesday, but west winds become south and increase 5 to 15. They'll even be gusting closer to 25 as we head toward Wednesday afternoon. And that's going to lead us on toward Thursday and Friday with sunshine. I expect upper 40s and low 50s. A whole lot sunny, brighter, and wonderful pattern here for the end of the week. Although keep in mind, as we talked about, that bit of a rain chance could edge on in. And I think as we look on toward Friday night, Saturday, could be a little rain, maybe some rain, snow to wrap up the week. So, Pam, I mentioned it before, be ready. Those slippery spots and stretches as things have frozen overnight. Take it a little easy as you get going this morning.
Yeah, these are the mornings where if you're an early commuter, you're going to have to take it easy out there. Appreciate the update, Stu. I'm going to be leaving Pambo here in the next couple of hours. I'll see what I find on my way back. Stu Mock, our ag meteorologist, joining us with our Compure Financial Ag Weather Update on a Monday. Remember, Compure Financial is your financial partner in both agriculture and rural life. Don't forget, resources and offices near you, all available online at compure.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK,
Amory's radio station.
It's fully leaded education talk.
Hard facts with a humorous twist.
Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK and on the Civic Media app.
When I first had my baby, I'd get comments all the time about how happy I must be. I remember thinking, I want to be happy. Why don't I feel that way? It was hard to admit that, even to my doctor, but I'm glad I did. She told me it was postpartum depression, and that is very treatable. These days, things are feeling good, and we're both happier about that. Right, little man? I'll take that as a yes.
Mental health care is working for Simone. See what it can do for you at mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Lexi spent more than 6 years in foster care.
Before I was adopted, I felt alone.
With help from the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption, Lexi now has a forever family and the foundation for a bright future.
Adoption changed me for the better. I feel like I can be whoever I want to be.
You can help find permanent homes for children still lingering in foster care. Learn more at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. People with disabilities are extremely talented, resilient problem solvers that have so much to offer. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at SoundItOutTogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
ABC News, I'm Tom Rivers. It's another day with a U.S. ship involved in action in the Middle East. The Pentagon says the USS Kearney shot down three drones after missile launches by Houthis targeted three commercial ships in the Red Sea. ABC's Liz Landers.
No injuries are reported, but the commercial ships were damaged. The Houthi rebels claim they were targeting Israeli vessels in the shipping lanes between Africa and the Arabian Peninsula. Meanwhile, Israel's military has expanded its ground war in Gaza.
The U.S. Air Force says divers have found remains and wreckage from an Osprey aircraft that crashed off Japan. They previously recovered the body of one airman. There were eight people on board. The Supreme Court's hearing arguments today as it reviews the bankruptcy settlement with Purdue Pharma, maker of OxyContin. The multi-billion-dollar agreement would see the company pay out millions of dollars, but also give its controlling family immunity from lawsuits. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Senate Democrats have elected Dianne Hesselbein as their new minority leader. Hesselbein was elected to represent Middleton in the Senate last fall after a decade of serving in the Assembly. Earlier this week, Melissa Agard stepped down as minority leader after announcing her run for Dane County Executive. Hesselbein beat Senators Kelda Royce and Jeff Smith in a vote for minority leader on Friday.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court is expected to rule soon on the state's legislative maps. Jeff Mandel of the liberal firm Law Forward says it's about voters choosing their lawmakers and not the other way around.
If we get back to the feedback mechanisms of democracy, that's the win. It's not about which party wins in 2024. I just think that's overly reductive.
Mandel spoke at a WISP politics gathering on Thursday. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Packers beat the Chiefs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Green Bay Packers over the Chiefs on Sunday Night Football. The final, Green Bay 27, the Chiefs 19. After a four-game losing streak, the Packers now won four of their last five games. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur on how the offense is improving.
Certainly there's a trust, just making sure that we get the protection that's needed. You know, guys in the receiver room and tight end room are making plays in the passing game.
The Chiefs fall to 8-4, and next week they host the Buffalo Bills. Chiefs defensive lineman Chris Jones.
I go by the five-minute rule. You got 5 minutes to complain. You got 5 minutes to get it all out.
NBA, the Bucks getting ready to play the New York Knicks tomorrow night at Fiserv Forum. Milwaukee held on to beat the Hawks 132-121 over the weekend. Adrian Griffin.
You know, we played a tough Atlanta team that could really score the ball. I don't think they missed in the first half, and we just weathered the storm.
That's Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreak.
Here's your updated forecast. Overcast skies today with a high of 36. South winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tonight. Chance of snow 26. 35 tomorrow, partly cloudy. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM. Right now, 28.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Timeout.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over, then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
It's like looking at where people landed, and you're not like, oh, they got snubbed.
She's like your older sister, but louder. This is the Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Hope everybody that's going to be leaving Wisconsin Dells after the conclusion of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation's annual business meeting today takes it easy on those back roads. It looks like we are going to warm up later this week. Temperatures projected to be in the mid to upper 40s as soon as Thursday. Good morning, everyone. I'm Farm Director Pam Yonke. It is the fourth day of December. Let's see, what can I tell you? On this day, back in 1991, Pan Am World Airways ceases operations. It was the largest airline in the United States when it started operations back in 1927 at the very beginning of commercial air flight. It tossed in the towel on this day back in 1991. Happy birthdays on a Monday morning. Actor Jeff Bridges, 73 years young. He's had some health issues, so he's definitely grateful to be around. Marissa Tomei, another actress from My Cousin Vinny, 58 years young. And actress model Tyra Banks, she is 49 years young. And now you know. On Saturday, the potato and vegetable growers in central Wisconsin celebrated the grand opening of their brand new Food and Farm Exploration Center. Located just off I-39 in Plover, it is a state-of-the-art learning area where folks can truly find out where their food comes from and broaden their knowledge of Wisconsin agriculture. A spearhead effort to a large extent by Wisconsin potato and vegetable growers in the area. That's why what you'll see on the front lawn of the Food and Farm Exploration Center is the world's largest potato masher. They don't just put their money into educational experiences like that. They also put their money in long-term research education experiences. Stephanie Hoff has more.
The potato industry is supporting a new grant that aims to bolster potato research at UW-Madison. I'm Stephanie Hoff with the Midwest Farm Report. The Wisconsin Potato and Vegetable Growers Association gave funds to extension specialist and soil science professor Matt Ruark, making him the first ever BCS chair. BCS is an acronym that honors past researchers at the university. Matt will get $85,000 per year over the next 5 years to support potato research. He tells me his plans for these dollars, but first says he's no stranger to potatoes. He's done a lot of research in this sector during his 15 years at UW.
So I've done a fair amount of work in the Central Sands of Wisconsin, focusing mostly on nitrogen management, on potato and vegetable crops grown there. It's a sensitive environment with sandy soils. It doesn't, you know, retain a lot of nitrogen in the soil. So improving nutrient management in those systems is really important. So I've worked across, you know, I've worked on a lot of different studies to try to improve nitrogen uptake in potato, reduce nitrate leaching, and also to try to improve soil health.
You're the first ever recipient then of these awards from the Wisconsin Potato and Vegetable Growers Association to continue this work. Tell me, what are your plans over the next 5 years? What do you hope to get done? What types of questions are you going to be exploring?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And, you know, I think first is just to continue a lot of on-farm research as it pertains to nitrogen management and potato production, but also start to synthesize all of these things that I've done over the past 15 years and try to build these larger databases and try to really develop it all into a functioning tool for potato growers to improve the timing of their nitrogen and understand if there's opportunities to improve that nitrogen use efficiency in order to reduce nitrate loss.
Can you walk me through an example of an on-farm research project that you're doing today that that growers would be, you know, interested in hearing about?
Yeah. So one of the big things that we're setting here are some of these nitrogen fertilizer technologies. So one of them are these polymer-coated ureas. So these are it's urea fertilizer that's coated in a thin plastic that allows for a slow release of the nitrogen into the environment. And we've seen it work really well at our experiment station, and we've started to test it out on farmer fields in cooperation with the farmers, and have had actually the past year shown really great success with using the product in terms of perhaps there's some opportunities to cut back on the total nitrogen that we apply when we use a product like this. So it leads to some potential reductions in nitrate leaching.
Matt Ruhrick along with us, the inaugural BCS chair at UW-Madison, supported by the Wisconsin Potato and Vegetable Growers Association. Matt is an extension specialist and soil science professor, and he'll be getting $85,000 per year over the next 5 years to amp up the research happening across the state. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
It's as simple as 1-2-3, friends. Buy your farm and ranch trucks from a certified agriculture dealership. Get $30,000 back in farm supply savings through AgPack. That's a 60% return on a $50,000 truck. Just go to agtrucktrader.com, register for your unique AgPack ID number, good to use at any certified ag dealer in the country for as many trucks as you want, and then search the inventory of only certified ag dealers all in one spot. agtrucktrader.com.
Well, the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation's annual business meeting concludes today up in Wisconsin Dells. Over the weekend, they recognized some of their 35 under 35 program participants and winners. The goal of this is to basically recognize those with creativity and innovation that are young farmers and agriculturalists in the organization and kind of watch them through leadership experiences. So the sustainable environmental category recognizes those that are good stewards of the land and their resources. The top individual in the sustainable environment category, Scott Tim from Green County. The sustainable future category recognizes those that are preserving generational success on the farm. The top individual in the sustainable future category was Kristen Quist from Polk and Burnett County. Then the sustainable self category is an individual that's serving their community through leadership, mentorship, and mental health advocacy. The top individual there, sustainable self category, was Leah Weninger from Washington County. And the sustainable service category, recognizing those that are serving agriculture through trade skills or advisory roles, that went to Brady Zook from Rusk County. The sustainable storytelling category recognizes those that are using their platforms to share agriculture's sustainability success. And the sustainable category winner was Tiana Marks from Dane County. Those were all recognized on Saturday during the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation's annual meeting. Up next on a Monday morning, you might be surprised how consumers' preferences as far as tastes are concerned influencing your activities on the dairy farm. Corey Geiger in a new position now with Rabobank. He's a Wisconsin native. We're visiting with him about those trends coming up.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Talking all things dairy with Ryan Yonkman from EverAg in just a moment. Yesterday, barrel cheese was up 5¾ cents at 148.5. 40-pound block cheese, though, that was down 2 at 159. Double A butter on Wednesday, 5½ cents higher at 262¼. This morning, Class 3 milk for December's up 3 at 1614. January up 2. 1624. December corn's currently 2 cents higher at 452. January soybeans are up just a half at 1347. July new crop wheat's down 2 at 611. Beginning tomorrow, the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation kicks off their annual convention in Wisconsin Dells with their Young Farmer event. We'll see you there. One of the topics of discussion is the Farm Bureau's desire to bring another health care option to Wisconsin for Farm Bureau members. Kevin Krenz, president of the Wisconsin Farm Bureau, says they've introduced legislation asking for a one-off exception from state insurance regulators to allow an existing model of health insurance that's being offered by Farm Bureaus in 7 other states to come to Wisconsin. Keep you posted on that one. And obviously more details from the state convention beginning tomorrow.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
OptUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed. Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
I wanted you to know from someone who's been in recovery more than 30 years now that hard work is what creates success, not alcohol or other drugs, whether it's music or anything else. I said it a lot, and I'm glad you took it to heart.
Talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Here, money grows in rows. This is the Midwest Farm Report.
I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, and we've been honored to be a part of the celebration of farms that have been in the same family for more than 100 or 150 years. The Sesquicentennial Farm we are visiting with today has a long history of not only farming, but serving the country. Today's 150-year-old farm belongs to Charles Larson's family near Denmark, Wisconsin, in Brown County. He shares with us some fond memories of growing up on the land that he loves so much today. But first, we take it back to 1861, when his family first came to the United States.
N.P. Niels Peter went by N.P. Larson. His family immigrated from Denmark. Denmark, the country, to Denmark, Wisconsin. He came over with a group of Danish immigrants around that period that all settled in that area, and then they ended up calling the village Denmark. He was just young at that time. I think he was born in 1853 in Denmark, so he's about 8 years old. Around that time, he met a local girl in Denmark. Their family had also immigrated, the Rasmussen family from Denmark, a few years earlier than that. A few years later, they started courting, and they were engaged in 1873, and that spring, his future wife, Lena's dad, Mads Rasmussen, and N.P., they decided to buy a chunk of land near the both farmsteads, just east of Denmark, that was for sale, with Lena's father buying half and N.P. buying the other half. And then they got married in 1875, so basically after the marriage, Lena's father gifted over his portion of the land, and then N.P. and Lena became the sole owners. But basically, the farm started in 1873 when they were engaged. They started farming it from then on, and then N.P. and Lena became the sole owners in 1875.
What were they producing? Was it a little bit of everything? Was it dairy?
They were primarily a dairy farm. They had a small barn back then. I think they also grew some wheat. But in 1900 is when they built the current barn that still stands. It's actually two barns that are standing there. There's a south barn that they built in 1900, and I think they saw some records. $75 was what the purchase price was to build it. Probably be about $75,000 at least nowadays. It was a 28-stall stanchion barn, and like I said, they were milking cows. And 5 years later, they built adjacent barn. It became basically on the south side of it, or north side of it. It was a double-peaked, ended up being a double-peaked barn, to basically same size as the current barn. Yeah, they continued just milking those 28 cows right up until the 90s when my dad slowly got out of it, and he sold the dairy cows in 1997 and ran at a replacement heifer operation for a few years and then completely transitioned into cash crops, which is what I'm currently doing.
That's pretty incredible that those two barns are still standing today. You know, over the six generations, did the farm see any big events? Anything like that? Any stories you remember hearing?
Basically, they got through by, you know, just hard work. Pretty much every war that's happened up until even the Civil War, we've had a family member or direct descendant that's served in it. So that was kind of the biggest thing is the young kids or young men at the time that were helping on the farm, all of a sudden they were gone to fight in the wars. I think it was 1918 is when NP, he was elected to the state assembly for Wisconsin for the second district. And that's when basically his son, his oldest son, decided to buy the farm because NP wouldn't be able to run it anymore. Yeah, and then World War II, a lot of the sons of the second generation, they went off to fight in World War II. So it was a tough time then. Same thing with my dad. You know, when he came back from Vietnam a few years later, he decided to buy the farm from my grandpa. And then I served. And when I came back from the Navy, that's when I decided to buy the farm as well. So that's kind of been the running thing with the family is one of the sons goes off to fight in one of the wars that's going on, and then he comes back and he purchases the farm a few years later.
That's a pretty incredible tradition. Not everyone today gets experience growing up on a farm, the lessons we've learned from, right. You know, working with family and working with the land. Do you have any memories that you'd like to share?
I just remember when I was a kid, I thought I was the luckiest kid in the world. I thought it didn't matter how much money or how wealthy my family was. I thought that the fact that I got to grow up on this, and it's really a beautiful, beautiful farm. It's a tough farm. It's very small fields, but they're all bordered by tree lines. Like I said, we live on a river valley. The very hilly, but it's just every field has it's almost has its own personality. My wife came from upstate New York. I met her in the Navy. And she even says that, too. The whole farm just has, from the buildings, the fields, and the legacy, it just has a story of its own. And the fields just have their own personality. Any 10 feet in any one field is different. Sand, soil, very nice ground, and then there's rocks 10 feet away. So it's tough ground, but it's got such a big story to it. And I think that was the biggest thing I remember growing up is just feeling how lucky I was to be there and to be part of it. And it was my dad didn't think that I would when I went off to the Navy that I'd come back. My mom always knew because she knew how much I loved the place and that eventually I'd come back. It was just a matter of time.
What's next for the family?
I have a 15-year-old stepson who's starting to show some interest in it. And then I have two younger daughters, an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old. And the 6-year-old is starting to show a lot of interest. She always talks about being the next generation. And she always jokes that if she gets married to a man, he's going to have to take the last name Larson to keep it Larson Homestead. but other than that, we'll see. I would definitely never pressure them into anything. You know, if it ends up being me the last generation, that's fine, too. We'll see how it goes, and I will definitely never pressure them into it, but if that's something they want to pursue, I'll definitely help them out as much as my dad's helped me and my grandpa helped him before.
Charles Larson telling us the story of his family's sesquicentennial farm near Denmark, Wisconsin in Brown County. His family's farm is one of 30 to be recognized this year from the state of Wisconsin for being 150 years old. And I'll be the first to tell you that each of these farms has a very unique story on how they came to be and where they plan on going for the next 150 years. You can listen to more sesquicentennial farm stories and centennial farms at MidwestFarmReport.com. Courtesy of Compeer Financial. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Protovate Nutritional Seed Enhancer is an 80-20 talc graphite replacement that provides the critical nutrients corn and soybeans need for early and uniform emergence. Learn more at getgreatergrowth.com. NewTrainsCompany.com.
If Mary had a little lamb, you can bet she'd talk to her about it. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Keeping an eye on consumer trends is absolutely critical, whether you're an agribusiness, you're a retailer, or you're a dairy producer. Joining us now is the lead economist for dairy under CoBank, a name and face you're probably likely familiar with here in the state of Wisconsin. That's Corey Geiger. Before we get started in the conversation about trends, Corey, give folks an update on your new responsibilities with CoBank. It's a fairly new opportunity for you.
Yeah, hi, Pam. I'm excited to be part of the CoBank team. For 28 years was a member of the Hordes Dairyman editorial staff, but now with CoBank, I'm a part of the knowledge exchange division with them and joined a group of 8 economists and analysts that are looking at trends throughout agriculture and in food processing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's what leads us to our conversation today, food processing. Some new trends out that are focused in primarily on dairy. Now, as a dairy kid yourself, Corey, when you first saw the information, what resonated with you? Where did you train your eye right from the beginning?
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I think that dairy farmers will certainly recognize right away is that butterfat content is up in the national bulk take, and most 92% of milk checks are paid on multiple component pricing. So think butterfat and protein, and that's been part of the trigger, but that's been driven by what consumers are demanding in dairy products. So people are eating their dairy instead of drinking it these days.
Yeah, well, you know, there was a time when even bringing the word fat up into a conversation would be the downfall of any new food product or foods that we had been consuming. What do you see there? What, are consumers suddenly changing preference when it comes to caloric intake? What's going on there?
Mm-hmm. Certainly, there was what I would almost quantify as a war.
In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
A nod from Time Magazine to Land O'Lakes for sustainability. Stay tuned for Farm to Fork. With its increased efficiency and lower fuel costs, ag producers know that propane is better for their bottom line. And now direct payouts can impact your bottom line with the Propane Farm Incentive Program. Participate and you could receive payouts like up to $5,000 for propane irrigation engines and prime power generators, and up to $2,000 for propane building heat systems. Apply today at propane.com/farmincentive. Spring is just around the corner, and there's still time to upgrade to the latest technology from Ag Leader. From SureForce downforce control and SureSpeed high accuracy planting systems to RightSpot individual nozzle control for your sprayer, Ag Leader has you covered. Upgrade now and reap the benefits this season. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com. What does Land O'Lakes CEO Beth Ford have in common with musicians Billie Eilish and Coldplay? Well, all were named recently to Time Magazine's list of 100 climate leaders and influencers. The cooperative's sustainability arm, called Truterra, has a carbon program headed by Josiah McClellan. He says it paid farmers $9 million in the past 2 years to sequester carbon in their soils.
We're also going to be in 2024 introducing new programs that recognize long-term adopters of these practices and reward them for the work that they've already been doing to create environmental benefits.
McClellan says Truterra is looking to make data collection easier for the carbon program.
Data is absolutely part of it. We know that in terms of participating in carbon programs, that's one of the biggest barriers to entry.
McClellan says the compensation program for sequestration is only part of the overall sustainability effort by Truterra.
financial assistance to support farmers, but also conservation agronomy, conservation services, working through the retail networks to provide that additional support to farmers. And then new carbon programs as well in 24 for those who have already made the transition, long-term practitioners, we call them, who are ready to be rewarded for the great work they've done.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Tom Rivers. A major escalation in the Middle East, the U.S. pointing the finger at Iran for a series of missile attacks.